Morning. Today's daf is daf Pei Beis in Zvachim. We're behind. We're back on Pei Aleph. Amud Aleph. So we have a lot to do today. Let's get to work. We have a Mishnah back. Started on a 9 Testament Beis, and it's continuing on to Pei. And we've been on this Mishnah for a while. Mishnah talks about Tarovas Dam with mixtures of bloods of different various karbanos, and highlight of the Mishnah, the machlokas between Rabbi Yoshua and Rabbi Eliezer. What happens if you have Dam Ola or Dam Shlamim get mixed up with Dam Bechor, Matan Dal together with mixed up with Matan Echad? And there's a major machlokas in the Mishnah what to do at that point in time, and accusations back and forth about Tigran and Baal Tosif, and that's the Mishnah that's on Daf Pei. We spent the entire day yesterday talking about one topic, and that's the topic of Bila, of whether or not there's a uniform blending when the bloods get to mix together. Meaning, when I go and take a sample of that blood, am I taking representation of everything that was put into that bowl? Do we assume blending? So, as you would probably guess, it's a machlokas. But it seems to be, however, the majority of the Tanayim, certainly the Chachamim, and most of the Amorayim maintain that there's such a concept of Bila, there's a concept of blending. Rav Ashi was of the opinion that according to Rabbi Eliezer, there ain't Bila, there's no blending. We spent yesterday in an amud and a half of Gemara defending the position of Rav Ashi, who maintains within the sheet of Rabbi Eliezer, ain't Bila, that there's no blending. And that's where we ended yesterday, and that's good because that really ends a sugya. We start now in the Gemara on Pei Aleph Amud Aleph, and we're starting with the words Amar Abaye. So again, we go back to the Mishnah and on Ayin Tes Amud Beis, and again, just highlight, there's a basic machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim. What happens if I got the blood of a chatas mixed up with the blood of an ola? Chatas goes on the top part of the mizbech. Ola goes on the bottom part of the mizbech. So what do I do? So Rabbi Eliezer has this concept called roin. His concept of roin means that, look, when I sprinkle blood on the mizbech and it doesn't need to go there, I treat that blood as if it's water. I look at the blood as if it's water. That's the concept of roin. He pretty much says it in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar Omer, I'm just reading, you don't have to follow with me right now, but I'm just going back to the Mishnah 9 Testament Beis. So Rabbi Lazar Omer, Yitin Lamalav, Roin es hatachtonim, Milamalam ki ilu heimayim. I get to look at blood as if it's water, if the blood doesn't actually need to go there. And then Yachzav Yitin Lamata, and then I'll sprinkle the blood on the lower part of the mizbech. That is the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. The Chachamim say no. Yishafech la'ama. You have to pour it down the canal. Pour it down the canal because there's nothing you can do. They don't subscribe to this rule of Rowan. They don't want you sprinkling blood of an Ola above the Chuta Sikra. So yishafech la'ama. So you just have to, unfortunately get rid of all that blood. Amar of Sheshes. Okay? So that takes us now exactly where we need to be in the Gemara. We start in the Gemara. Rav Sheshes. Yeah, let's try that again. Amar Abaye. Okay, so I'm going to get it right. It just takes some time. Amar Abaye. Lo shanu ala tchilas chatas va'ola. Okay, this whole machlokas between Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim is only when we're talking about blood of chatas and ola, where you haven't done anything yet. You haven't done a zrika of anything yet. Aval sov chatas va'ola. Divrei hakol makom. Ola makom shirayim. However, let's say you have a bowl of chatas blood, and let's say you did the top sprinkling. We know you have to take the chatas blood, go up and do an application on all four karanos, on all four of the top horns of the mizbeach. Good. Then what do? You go down the ramp, and you have what's called shirayim, the remnants of the blood. And that's poured onto the Yesod HaMizbeach, onto the foundation of the Mizbeach. Let's say that when you come down from the ramp, then this blood, which all it has now is Shirayim, gets mixed up with Ola blood. So, Abaye says, here there's no machlokas. Here everyone's going to agree there's a solution, which is pour it on the base of the Mizbeach. Why? Because what do you have left? You have Shirayim of Chatas. You have the blood of the Ola. Okay, they both go downstairs. They both go in the lower section of the Mizbeach. Fine. So then just do it. Now, I'm making it sound like not a big deal. It is a little different than one another. Meaning the Shirayim of the Chatas are poured onto the Yesod of the Mizbeach. The Yesod is that foundation. One Amma up, one Amma in. you usually pour it onto the base of the yesod, right? And then obviously it's going to flow over and right and wash away and go down the canal of the azara. But you usually pour it on the base. But over here, according to Abaye, okay, so you didn't pour it on the base, on the horizontal ledge of the base, but still, you got the basic area. So it should be fine. It's divrei hakol according to everyone, it's fine. Makam ola, makam shirayim, it's the same thing. So amalei Rav Yosef, hachi amar Rav Yehuda, shirayim tzrichim itztaba. No, they disagree. Shirayim require itztaba. I absolutely disagree. You can't just simply take the shirayim and pour it onto the vertical ledge of the mizbeach. That doesn't belong in the vertical ledge. You actually have to place it on the horizontal ledge. So even here, there would still be a machlokas between Rabbi Lazar and the Chachamim. V'chein amar Rabbi Shimon, lo shenu l'tchilat chatas v'ola. Aval sof chatas v'ola, divrei hakol makam ola b'makam shirayim. So again, this is Rabbi Shimon. Presumably, we're talking about Reish Lakish over here. So he also says that if it's sof chatas mixed with the blood of ola, just pour it onto the bottom of the mizbeach, and I'm Rabbi Yochanan, and his brother-in-law comes along. V'itim Rabbi Elazar, adain he machlokus. No, even that's a machlokus as well. Okay, so we have here an attempt to suggest that maybe there are times when Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim don't disagree, specifically when the shirayim of the chatas got mixed up with the ola. And it really comes down to shirayim. Where's the proper place for the shirayim of the chatas? Is it on the horizontal ledge of the yesod, or can I even put it onto the vertical side of the mizbeach? Meisav Rav Huna Bar Yehuda.
What does that mean?
Meaning that Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim would still disagree.
What should he do?
According to the Chachamim, shafech lama.
And according to
Rabbi Eliezer, he has the concept of rowan.
Which means what? What would he do with the blood?
Meaning some of the blood he'll put onto the vertical side, some of the blood he'll put onto the horizontal side. Okay?
What's the purpose? It's like water.
No, because you're right. In other words, the part I don't need will treat like water. So in other words, what I get to do is I get to pour some of the blood and ignore whatever blood I don't need. How do I ignore it? Because I'm able to look at it as if it's water.
I don't know why it's such a big problem. When you put on vertical, it goes on horizontal anyway.
Possibly, but that's not where you need to do it. Meaning, if the Torah demands that you put in a certain place, you got to put in that certain place. Okay, the Gemara says we have a pasuk regarding the bechor. It says kodesh shem. It says it is kodesh. That means to say that if it's nizar v'dam kachem acherim, that if it gets mixed up with other bloods, yikrevu, you're still allowed to bring it. Now, this is a pasuk regarding the blood of the bechor. My love, sof ola bechor. Now, what got mixed up with the blood of the bechor? The Brisa doesn't say. So the Gemara now is going to suggest. Maybe we're talking about sof ola. We're talking about the last part of the ola, what we'll call the shirayim. Ushma minam makam ola, makam shirayim. And we'll say that the makam ola and the makam shirayim are really one in the same place. Lo, tchilas ola v'chor. No, we're talking about tchilas ola. Umay kamash malan de'ein ola mevatlan zeh. So the Gemara says, and what's the chiddush? The chiddush is that when bloods get together, even though there's more of one blood than the other blood, ein mevatlan zeh, the bloods do not negate one another. The Gemara says, hi. Really, that's where we learn out this halacha, that bloods don't negate one another? And the Gemara is going to have no less than three separate drushas of how we know that bloods do not negate one another. So one drusha we just saw, Kodesh Haim. Kodesh Haim tells us that the blood is Kodesh, even though it's intermingled with other bloods. A second drusha, Haimi v'lakach midama par midama si'ir nafka. The Kohen, when he does the avodah on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol, when he does the avodah on Yom Kippur, so he takes blood of a goat and blood of a bull. Okay, good. Now we know that that's the two karbanos where he's going to take the blood, sprinkle it, lefnai v'lefnim, onto the paroches, onto the mizbech hazahav. At one point in time, the Torah sounds like he mixes the bloods together. There is an opinion in the Gemara and Yuma that that's exactly right. He mixes the bloods together. And so, if you're mixing the bloods together, the Gemara always assumes that a goat, it's a little goat. A bull, it's a large bull. Okay, you're going to have a lot more blood of the par than you are going to have of the seer. And if it's true that you mix the bloods together, which is debatable, but if it's true, So you have a scenario where I have blood of bull and blood of goat, and they're all mixed together. And the Torah says, I still get to look at the bloods independently. Right? They are each blood still has its own identity. So mivalakach midama par midama sir nafka. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi ika de nafka lemehacha vika de nafka lemehacha. So the Gemara says, exactly. Correct. Where do I learn out the halacha that when bloods get mixed together, bloods don't negate one another? Machlokas. Machlokas, where that comes from. It either comes from the Kodesh Haim Pasuk from Korach, or it comes from Achremos. So the Gemara says, Mesiv Rava. Rava continues along this track, this path. The Kriva B'nei Aaron is Adam, V'Zarku is Adam. He brings B'nei Aaron the blood, V'Zarku is Adam. Right? Ma, the beginning of Vayikra. So Ma, Tamalomar Dam Dam, Shiachalain Li Allah, Elishin Esarva B'Tmura. The Gemara now is basically going to have a third drasha that makes essentially the same exact point, that when bloods get together, bloods do not lose their identity. Even though I have more one type of blood mixed in with another type of blood, each blood retains its identity. Tamalam or dam dam. So this third drasha learns it out from the extra dam mentioned in the first parak of Vayikra. So Shiachalain Li Allah Elishin Esarva B'Tmura So Shaf Mechaim Tikrav. Look. If blood of one type gets mixed in with the blood of basically the same type of animal, right? The Gemara uses tamura, right? Because that's the perfect example of same type of animal, right? In fact, it's a carbon copy. And I don't know how many times I'm going to say that joke and not just get absolutely sick of it. But it's the same. So sha'af mechaim tikrav minayin l'rabas toda ushlamim marba ani toda ushlamim shabai menedu nadava. Look. If the Ola gets mixed in with Shlamim, you know, I could see it that that's similar enough where I would still be able to bring both because they're essentially the same. Same purpose. Ola is Neder Nadava. Shlamim is essentially Neder Nadava. Kemosa Minan L'Rabba says Asham. What about Karban Asham? Marbani is Asham. Shatam Matandal Kemosa. Well, the application of blood of the Asham just is just like the Ola. So I could see how if the bloods of the Ola and the Ashim get mixed together, I could see how that's not so bad. Bechor Meister Pesach Minayin. What about Bechor Pesach and Bechor Meister and Pesach? Those are different applications. Those only have one application, not the Shtaim Shein Arba. Tamalama Dam Dam. That's what I generate from the Dam Dam. Now again, it's very clear from this drasha that when I have bloods that get together, each blood still retains its identity, and I'm allowed to sprinkle. Now, my love, sof ola, uvechor shmamina makam ola makam shirayim. Again, the Gemara goes back to that point where we started this morning. Right? Aren't we assuming now that it's sof ola, that it's the shirayim of the ola that gets them mixed in with bechor? And aren't we, and isn't the point that we're trying to make is that it's the same place? So the Gemara says, lo tchilas ola uvechor. So and the Gemara says no, not necessarily. It could be tchila sola, and still the basic point is that blood still retain their identity. Period. Okay, that's the end of that discussion. So we have so far, for those of you who've been keeping score, we have now three separate drushas of how we know that when bloods get together, bloods don't lose their identity. Or to put it otherwise, there's no bittul. There's no bittul. Now, Rav Yehuda, by the way, just as a side point, generates the halacha of there's never bittul, right? The dam is never mevatel dam. And in fact, this is where he launches into his position of min bemino is ain't a mevatel. Okay. No. This is just fine. And we don't, again, mention this a number of times, we don't go to that extreme, but we certainly do take it to the place where when bloods get together, each blood still retains its identity. So the Gemara now says three separate drashas, the one Kodesh Haim from Bechor, the Olakach Midama Par Midama Seir from Yom Kippur, and the Dam Dam of the first Perek of Vayikra. So the Gemara says, "Mivalakach midama par midama sfer nafka." Tonight he ika denafka lemehacha, the ika denafka lemehacha. Okay, the Gemara wants to understand. Look, I get it. It's a machlokus where we get this halacha from that bloods retain their identity. Why do of there are three separate drashas? Clearly, there's a reason why. Right, the one person likes this drasha as opposed to that drasha or that drasha. So the Gemara is going to now take us through, walk us through What's quote unquote wrong with each drasha? What's problematic about each drasha? Mi dam dam lo yalev dam dam lo mashma lehu. Okay. So the extra dam mentioned in the first parak of Vayikra, and for that to teach me the halacha that when bloods get mixed up together, they still retain their identity, lo mashma lehu, meaning to make a drasha by an extra dam, I don't hear it. That's the problem with that drasha. Elam the kodesh shem my time alo yafi kasava kodesh shem craven vein tomorrow so craver. Oh, the kodesh shem also is no good because we needed to teach us another halacha, which is the tamura of bechor. Normally, what happens with a tamura? It's a carbon copy. It's the same thing. In other words, if I make a tamura of a shlamim, that tamura is a shlamim. They're both offered onto the Beis Hamikdash, and they're both treated like shlamim, right? And that's usually there's no tamuras chatas. Okay, that's not in the discussion. Tamuras chatas is put to death, but tamuras ola, tamuras shlamim, right? Those are all treated the same as the original carbon. What about tamuras bechor? Tamuras bechor is not treated like the original carbon. You don't offer tamura bechor. I guess you just have to let it develop a blemish and then sell it in, and you don't treat it like a bechor. So you don't offer, I should say, you don't offer like a bechor. Okay? And how do I know that? Kodesh Haim, Haim Kraven Vitzmur So Krava. That's what he uses for the Pasuk. Okay, good. Now that we know that he generates that halacha from the Pasuk, he can't generate the halacha of bloods retaining their identity. The Idach Nafkalemi V'im Shor Im Sela Hashem, who Kravin Tmura So Krava. What about the other people who do like this Pasuk for bloods retaining their identity? Where do they get the halacha of Tmuras Bechor? They have another Pasuk? Fine. Tashma. Okay, Nasan Lamala Velo Nimlach. Again, we're going back to the beginning of today's daf, which is the beginning of our discussion today, which is if I have just Shirayim get mixed up with other bloods, can I basically sprinkle in the same place? Again, Shirayim we know goes on the Yesod. Most other Karbanos go on to the side of the Mizbeach. Can I sprinkle in the same place? So the Gemara says it seems like you certainly can. Tashma nasan lamala v'lo nimlach eila v'eila modim shiachsu v'yitin lamata. Eilu v'eilu olin lo. This is a brisa that we quoted yesterday. This is a brisa that was on Pei Amud Beis. We use this brisa to try to get to the bottom of Bila. Okay? We're quoting the brisa again. And the brisa says, if the Kohen has this mixture of Chatas blood and Ola blood, and without conferring, without asking, he first sprinkles it on the top of the Mizbeach. Okay. If you would have asked the Chachamim, they would have told you, don't do that. Pour down the Amma. As we explained already, the Chachamim don't subscribe to this whole concept of Rowan. You can't do it. Pour down the Amma. Okay? But he didn't ask the Kohen. He didn't ask the Beis Din. He went first. He shot first. He sprinkled on the top of the Mizbeach first. So then what do you do? So the Chachamim said, look, you shouldn't have done it, but now that we're here, so what you can do now is you can take the remnants and sprinkle on the bottom of the Mizbeach, and Eilu ve'Eilu Olin Lo. And they both work. So, my love, the era of Chatas ve'Ola ve'Kein Diavile Lamala, Havalu Shirayim veKetana Elu veElu Modim Shiachsu veYitein Lamata Ushmami Na Makam Ola Makam Shirayim. Also, it does certainly seem that all you need to do is one more application on the bottom part of the Mizbeach, and you cover both. You cover both the Shirayim of the Chatas and your Ola application. So it sounds like you can go on the, not necessarily on the base of the Mizbeach, but you can go on the side of the bottom part of the Mizbeach, and that would be enough for both Shirayim and for the Ola. So the Gemara says, Ki Asa Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Ami Amar Bama Rav, Achma Maizkinan, Ki Gon Di Arav Chatas Chitzona B'Shirayim. So the Gemara says, not necessarily. Look, the Brisa is not clear about what got mixed up together. I'm going to argue that you know what got mixed up together? It was Chatas of an outer Mizbeach that got mixed up with the chatos of the inner Mizbeach. Chatos apnimios, we learned there are five of them, right? The Par Halam Davar, the two Yom Kippurs, right? The Seir of Avodah Zarah. Okay. The blood of the panimi gets mixed up with the blood of the chitzona. Now, with the panimi, what's the protocol? So what I do is I take that blood of the chatas apnimi, go inside, sprinkle it towards the paroches. On Yom Kippur, I actually take the blood lefnai v'lefnim, okay, and sprinkle it between the poles of the Aron Kodesh. I sprinkle on the paroches. I hit the four corners of the golden mizbeach inside the heichal. And then what do? I take out the that blood, and I sprinkle the shirayim onto the base of the outer mizbeach. Okay? That's the protocol with the chatas apnimi. So the Gemara says, maybe the Bryce is talking about a case where blood of a chatas chitzona got mixed up with blood of a chatas apnimi. So, Amar le Abai, v'neim amar kagon di iarev b'shirayim. So, Dilma hakamashmala afila mandam shirayim ma'akvin, chasu ein ma'akvin. And the Gemara says, and what would the chiddush be? Chiddush would be like this. Remember, I have two bloods that got mixed up together. And the Gemara now is suggesting it's chatas chitzona blood gets mixed up with chatas pnima blood. Now, according to the Chachamim, throw it out. Chuck it. Okay, why? Because the chatas chitzona blood needs to go on the top. The chatas pnimi's blood, interestingly enough, only goes on the bottom. And the Chachamim don't subscribe to this whole concept of roin, and so therefore you got to chuck it. But now let's plug this into the Braisa. But the Braisa says, if the Kohen didn't ask and sprinkled on the top of the Mizbeach, so he now took care of the Chatas Chitzona. So now what you have is Chatas Pinima, blood, together with Shirayim of Chatas Chitzona. Oh, okay, good. And we know they both go onto the base of the Mizbeach. And here you're going to pour it onto the actual horizontal ledge of the Yesod. So what's the Chiddush? Meaning, good. So where's the problem over here? Why do I need a Braisa? So the Gemara says, because Chasu Ein Ma'akvin. I might have thought that, look, what you did is you took some of your Chatas Panimi blood, you sprinkled it on the top part of the Mizbeach, you've diminished it. You didn't take all the shirayim of the chatas panima and you didn't put it onto the sort of mizbeach. Okay. And the Gemara says, and I might have thought that may have, it may have compromised the chatas panima, and the Gemara says, no, it does not. Let's go on. Amalei Rav Tzusol Ravina Haukimna Hayi Beruv Al Yonim V'Kayav Lamala Shir Tachtonim V'od. So the Gemara says, let's go back to yesterday's daf. Didn't you say yesterday, when we were discussing this brayso in the context of Bila, that we were talking about a case where the majority of it was Ola, I'm sorry, the majority of it was Chatas blood, the minority of it was Ola blood, and you put most of it on the top? So the Gemara says, yeah, that's yesterday's daf. Yeah, the Gemara says, when we were having the whole discussion of Rav Ashi and Ein Bila, yeah, so that's the direction we went with yesterday. That was only as a defense for Rav Ashi, but Maskana Bikosas Pligi. But remember that when all said and done, we said that the Braisa was not talking about bloods getting mixed up, but cups getting mixed up. And so the Gemara says, don't get caught up on yesterday's daf. Yesterday's daf was the defense of Rav Ashi, not necessarily the real pshat of the Braisa, or the more accepted pshat of the Braisa, I should say. Okay, good. All right, so again, this entire sugya, where we started this morning, Amar Abaye was an attempt to try to limit the machlokas between Rabbi Elazar and the Chachamim. What if instead of I have chatas and ola blood getting mixed together, what if I have shirayim of chatas gets mixed up with ola blood? And the issue is, which really was unresolved in the Gemara, when I have shirayim, I know primarily I should put it onto the horizontal base of the Mizbeach. Is it okay if I put it onto the side of the Mizbeach? And the Gemara basically leaves us off in limbo. Right, Rav Yochanan and Reish Lakish disagree about the matter. Abai and Rava disagree about the matter. The Gemara does not conclude whether or not I could put shirayim onto the vertical side, whether it has to go onto the actual base of the yesod.
But how do they do it anyway? How do they do it?
Meaning what?
How
would they do it onto the side?
Yeah.
They would just do it with a spritz. Okay, Hanitanim b'finishin esarav b'nitanim b'chutz. Okay, now, inner blood gets mixed up with outer blood. Inner blood, so Right? We're talking here about the chatas apnimi gets mixed up with the chatas chitzona. So those two bloods get mixed together. Chatas apnimi, I mean, you're talking about a carbon that's rarely brought in the Beis HaMikdash, par halam davar, the seer of Avodah Zarah. It is brought annually on Yom Kippur. Okay, that blood gets mixed up with chitzona blood. Alright, so again, according to the Chachamim, there's nothing to do. You pour it down the canal that runs through the Azara. You can't sprinkle it because, as Rashi points out over here, as we've said already a number of times, they don't subscribe to this rule of Rowan. You can't just simply, hold on one second, I'll take my mixed bloods and we'll go into the, right? You can't do that. They don't hold to this concept of Rowan. I can't just simply view part of the blood as water. And so therefore I have no choice but yishafek la'ama. However, lama nasam bechutz v'chazav nasam befnim kasher lichat chila, throw it out. What if he applied it to the outer mizbeach and then went inside and applied to the inner mizbeach? Okay, so he shouldn't have done that. And by the way, one of the reasons why he shouldn't have done that, the Gemara is about to point out when we get to the Gemara, is because remember there's order of process, right? There's kedima. Chatas versus Ola, Chatas comes first. Chatas Panima versus Chatas Chitzona, if the Kohen has a question of which one to do first, Panima comes first. So you can't really do the Chitzona before the Panima. But the Mishnah says, but if you did, it's okay. Chatas, right, Nasam Bechutz V'Chazam V'Nasam Bifnim Kasher. What if I go the other way? Bifnim V'Chazam V'Nasam Bechutz. What if I go and I take my mixed blood? Remember, it's got chatas blood of the inner mizbeach and chatas blood of the outer mizbeach, and they're mixed together. And I brought it inside. V'chazav v'nasam v'chutz, Rabbi Akiva posel. Rabbi Akiva says, no good. I'll explain why in just a moment. V'chachamim machshirin. The chachamim say, no, it's fine. She Rabbi Akiva omer, kol damim shenichnasu l'chaper behechal psulim. Because Rabbi Kiva is of the opinion that any blood that's brought into the Heichal becomes disqualified. The Chachamim Omrim, Chatas Bilvad. Only that of the Chatas. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Afa Asham Shenemar, Ki Chatas Ka Asham. Okay, what's going on over here? What's going on over here between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim is the following. Parshat Sav, the end of Perek Vav. The Torah talks about the carbon chatas in a little more detail, right? Torah talked about the carbon chatas in Perek Hay at length, Perek Dalet and Perek Hay, and then the Gemara in Parshat Sav goes over the carbonos again and gives us more halachas about the carbonos. Vaydaber Shama Moshe Lemor Perek Vav Pasuk Yizayin. Daber Al Aron VeAlbanav Lemor Zos Torah Sachatas B'mkamashet Tishachei Olat Tishachei Chatas Lefnei Hashem Kodesh Kadoshim He. So the Torah says that where do I shech the chatas? Same place where I shech the Olah. It's kachi kachi. Where do you eat the carbon chatas? So you eat it in the chatzer. Kol asher yigabiv sarai yigdash, asher yizam edama ala beged, asher yizeh alah techabes b'makom kadosh. If you get a little blood of the carbon chatas in your clothing, there's a special halacha of kibbutz. You must launder your clothing in the azara. You can't take your clothing out. Okay? An entire perek. I don't know about an entire parak. But yeah, later on we'll talk about this at length. Ukli cheres asher tevushabo yishaver, mi mikli nechoshes bushala, umorak vishutap b'mayim. If you cook your chatas meat in a earthenware, you got to break it, because it absorbed the taste. If you cook it in a metal pot, say you kasher the metal pot. Okay? Kol zachar b'kohanim yochal aso kodesh kadoshim hi. Fine. Now we get to the end of this section, it's end of this parsha. V'chol chatas asher yuvami dama el hawa mawe lechaber bekodesh lo se'achel ba'esh tisarev. And any carbon chatas where its blood goes into the oamoed over here means the Beis HaMikdash, right? Into the heichal. If blood goes into the heichal, lo se'achel. Interestingly enough, the chatas becomes disqualified. By Ishti Saref, you have to burn it. Okay? There's an Isser in the Torah where I can't take blood of a Chatas. We're talking obviously about the outer Chatas. I can't take blood of an outer Chatas, bring the blood into the Heichal, and then bring it back outside again. Once I bring it into the Heichal, the Chatos becomes disqualified. Okay? This halacha perhaps doesn't resonate with logic. Okay? But still, it disqualifies. According to Rabbi Akiva, it's not just true by a Karban Chatos, it's true by all Karbanos. Every Karban, where if I were to take the blood of that Karban and bring it into the Heichal, I disqualify that Karban. Okay? We know that there's this concept of what's called Yotzei. If I take blood out of the Azara, right, the Karban becomes disqualified. What we're learning now, according to Rabbi Akiva, is that similarly, there's a psul of, I don't know what to call it, bifnim, I guess we'll call it, right? Bringing it into the Azara, into the Beis HaMikdash, it's going to be disqualified. So, think about it now. According to Rabbi Akiva, if I have a mixture of Chatas Pnima with blood of any other carbon, here's the problem, right? It really is a catch-22. Number one, I got to do the Chatas Pnima first, because the Chatas Pnima always has to be done first. Then, once I bring it into the Beis HaMikdash, so now the other blood that's mixed in is going to get disqualified. Okay, fine. So how about this? How about I'll do the application of the other blood, and then I'll do the Chatas HaPnima. I can't do that because I've offended the Kedima. There's a certain order in terms of how it's got to be done. So I'm literally stuck. So that's why the Chachamim say you're stuck. The Chachamim say there's nothing you can do. But if you do first the application on the outside, and then you do the application on the inside, okay, even though you've offended the Kedima, that's right, in terms of order, you've offended, but it did work out. That's what the Chachamim say. That's why the Chachamim are Machshir, right? And the Vanessa, I'm sorry. That's why the Chachamim are Machshir. What about just one more case? What if it's not Chatas Chitzona blood, but other bloods that got mixed up with Chatas Pnima? What if it's Ola? What if it's Shlamim that got mixed up with Chatas Pnima? So again, Lichatchila, you got to throw it out because there's nothing you can do. The Kedima demands I go inside first, but once I go inside first, so then I'm going to disqualify the other bloods. According to the Chachamim, that's not true. According to the Chachamim, I won't disqualify the other bloods. So the Mishnah tells us that according to the Chachamim Achshirim, Sherabi Kiva Omer Kol Adam Shnechnus Chaper Beicha Psula, the Chachamim Omerim Chatas Bilvad. This is only true by the Chatas, that the Chatas becomes disqualified. Fine. And then Rabbi Eliezer Omer Afa Asham Shenemar Kechatas Kaasham, the Asham is included as well. If you go back to the first page of Zvachim, you'll remember, same Rabbi Eliezer, who says that when it comes to Shinui Kodesh, Asham and Chatas are one and the same as well. Okay, so this connects us all the way back. All right. The Gemara over here, Benifog Nami Rav Elazar Baha. So the Gemara says, what just happened over here? In our first case of our Mishnah, we talked about blood of the inner Chatas getting mixed up with the blood of the outer Chatas. According to Rabbi Eliezer, he has this big concept called Rowan. Why don't we say Rowan over here? Hey Chileav, the Gemara says, because you're stuck. Nisa b'chutz v'hadon esav lefnim k'shem sh'mitzvah l'hakim al yonim l'taktonim kach mitzvah l'hakim p'nim l'chutz. Because remember, there's the rule of Kedima. The Chatas p'nima has to go before anything else. V'nesav lefnim v'hadon esav l'chutz kevan di'ika Chatas v'asham d'chi nechnas damam psulem lo psik alei. Yeah, and the problem is that if the other blood that's mixed in is outer Chatas blood, the moment you bring into the Beis HaMikdash, you've disqualified the outer Chatas blood. So you're stuck. Fine. And that's why even Rabbi Eliezer, who has this big concept of Rowan, doesn't have a resolution over here. Okay, Shaya Rabbi Kiva Omer. Okay, we will spend a quick couple minutes going over now this machlokus between Rabbi Kiva and the Chachamim. Okay, bringing blood into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, Rabbi Kiva says any blood brought into the Beis HaMikdash is going to disqualify that blood, period. Even though the difficulty is going to be that the parsha that I just read to you is talking about the Karban Chatas. The parsha couldn't be any clearer. That's talking about the Karban Chatos. Rabbi Akiva extends it to all Karbanos. The Chachamim disagree with Rabbi Akiva, and the Chachamim say no. That's true only by the Karban Chatos. Chatos, the outer Chatos blood that's brought inside, is going to be disqualified. But all other Karbanos, you bring it inside, you bring it right out again, it's fine. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Mashal Amahadavar Doma. Okay, so this is a little tricky, this part over here. I don't still don't fully understand it, but I'll try. How do you understand Rabbi Akiva? Meaning, look, the problem I understand very well. The Torah says, if you bring the blood of a chatas into the Beis HaMikdash, you've disqualified it. And Rabbi Akiva says, what are we talking about? Every carbon. How did that happen? Right? How do we get from there, chatas, to every carbon? So, the Gemara gives a mashal. So, mashal lamaha davadam latam shemazug l'rabba b'chamim. Okay, so the student is preparing a cup of wine for his Rebbe. Of course. And in preparation of this cup of wine, they always do what's called meziga. Right? They dilute their wine. Well, their wines were extraordinarily potent. And in order to drink it, so they diluted it. Usually was a ratio of 3 to 1. 3 parts water to 1 part wine. Okay, it was heavy-duty stuff. Then there was an option of diluting it in warm water versus diluting it in cold water. I don't speak this. I don't have any of my students dilute my wine for me. I don't drink wine in general. I do. Right, I drink coffee. So I don't appreciate, I just don't understand this whole discussion of how do you want to dilute it with warm water, with cold water. None of this makes sense to me, but... Okay, well, just work with the Gemara. Latam shemazik l'rabba v'chamim v'amar lo mizogli. So then, in other words, up until now, the dilution has been done with warm water. Okay, it's better, it's worse. I don't know, but contextually, however, we've been doing warm water today. V'amar lo mizogli. So then, instructions I give to my student is do it again. So amarli b'meh. So he says, well, how would you like it? Warm water or cold water? So I'm a lo b'chamim anu asukim, achshav bein b'chamim bein mitzonin. Well, look, contextually, if you've been following, if you've been paying attention, we've been doing warm water. Now I'm telling you, all waters are fine. Okay. Hachanami mich b'chatas askinan. Look, I read to you the whole parsha. The whole parsha is clearly talking about the carbon chatas. Couldn't be any clearer. Right. Here are the laws of the Karban Chatas. Okay, clearly the parsha starts talking about Chatas. And then when you get to the end of the parsha, why did the Torah have to go out of its way and say Chatas? When contextually you know that the entire parsha is talking about Chatas, so it must be that if I just left it up to context, we all would have known that we're talking about chatas. Now that I say chatas, it must mean all as well. Okay. I'm not saying I fully understand that. Okay? I'm not saying that. Okay, I need to, you know, I need to digest this also. But that the Gemara is suggesting is an argument in terms of how we know that it applies to all karbanos.
Are they talking about just kachet kachim or kachet kan also?
Everything. As the Gemara will be very clear.
Okay, so let's go with kachet kachim.
Good. Your thought process is excellent because the Gemara is going to actually take us through that thought process. That maybe it's just kachet kachim. Okay. Maskev la Rav Huna b'reid Rav Yehoshua mechtei Rabbi kol kachim l'gabe mizbech l'inyan marika u'shtifa chatas dekasav rachman olam ali shema mina chatasim midech rin olam. So the Gemara fiercely challenges this idea that, well, I would have known out of context that we're talking... No, I wouldn't have, because look, let's go back. Perek Vav, the last 6-7 psukim of Perek Vav. The Torah starts off by saying, these are the laws of the Torah's Chatas. Those Torah's Chatas. The Malkam Asher Tishachet Ha'ola, etc., etc. Then the Torah goes on to say, and what if you cook the chatas? Well, if you cook it in earthenware, so you shaver, you have to break it. V'im b'kli nechoshes bushala, but if it's cooked in metal, umorak v'shutaf amayim yikasherit. Is that true by chatas? No. That's true by all karbanos. you can expunge the taste of all karbanos out of metal. The Gemara later on will learn out that this is not just true by the Karban Chatos, this is true by all karbanos. Oh, so in other words, what the Torah just did is it presented a halacha that really is a universal halacha. It applies to all karbanos. Now that the Torah did that, now the Torah has to say, now I'm giving you a halacha that's specific back to the Karban Chatos. The Gemara says, that's why we went Chatos, a universal halacha about Kasher and Kalim, back to Chatos. Oh, so the Gemara says, so Chatos to Kasher Rechman Lamelish, Mamina Chatos in Midiach Reni Lo. Vahalo Damia, and in fact, now that I've explained to you that, now let's go back to our mashal. Now I'll say the mashal a little bit differently. Vahalo Damia, Allah Tamisha Mazuka Rabba, Ben Becham, and Ben Mitzone. It's right? It's like, you know, Rebbe's been drinking wine today, and I've used warm water to dilute it. I've used cold water to dilute it. We're all over the place. Now, if he wants to dilute it with warm water, he's got to say to me, you know, warm water. I only want warm water. So fine. So the Gemara basically has rejected this, the first mashal, which, quite frankly, I don't understand that well. And also explain to us why the Torah uses the word chatas at the end of the parsha quite well, why the Torah has to use it over there. So Ela time to Rabbi Akiva. So now we're really back at Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva maintains that blood of any carbon that's poured into the base of Mikdash is going to be disqualified. Any carbon, not just a carbon chatas. How does he get there, especially when the Torah says chatas? So Ela time to Rabbi Akiva mechatas v'chol chatas. The Tanya chatas saying le'ele chatas kashi kashi minayin. Tama lomar. Kol chatas. You have a riboy. Kashim kolim inayin. This gets us to your point. Tamalamar vichol chatas divrei Rabbi Akiva. So we have the kol, we have the vichol. Okay, so we have ribuyim. So amalo Rav Yosi Aglili afilo atamar bekol yom kulo eni shomei alach. Rav Yosi Aglili says, Rabbi Akiva, I could listen to you do this all day. I don't care. I'm not gonna listen to you. I don't hear your kol. I don't hear your vichol. I don't hear any of that. Ela chatas ain't li ela chatas yachid chatas sibro minayin tamalamar kol chatas. The ain't li ela chatas zacher chatas nekeva minayin tamalamar vichol. All the kol and the vichol are doing is just telling me other types of chatas, because as we know, there are many different types of chatas. Individual chatas, communal chatas, male chatas, female chatas. By the way, the Gemara just makes one quick correction. Right, kapelaya. Meaning, the Gemara says, male chatas are the exception. A king brings a male chatas. Right? Male chatas are not normal. So the Gemara says, okay. So correction on that last point. Alahachi kamar. Ainli alechatas nekeva. Chatas zachar minayin tamalamar vichol chatas. Fine. So Rabbi Yosef Aglili says, the vichol chatas is a ribui. Rabbi Kiva, I'm with you on that. But where I'm not with you is, what is it coming to include? You want to tell me it's coming to include all karbanos? I totally disagree. It's coming to include all different types of karban chatas. The Savar Rabbi Yosef Aglili, high kral lahachu da'asava atanya. The Gemara gets caught up for just a moment on a technical point, which is Rav Yosef Galili uses that very pasuk for something else. The Tanya, but I tell you, Rav Yosef Galili Omer, Kol Ha'inyan Kulo Einu Medaber Ela Bepar Menesrof Mesirim Menesrofim Lisrof Psulei Ma Beis Abira V'Lamod Belosase Al Achilaso. So Amru Lo Chatos Shenichnas Dama Lifnai V'Lifnim. Just leave it as Lifnim Inayin. What if the blood is brought of a carbon chatas is brought into the azara amalem hein lo huva? So he learns that from the pasuk of hein lo huva, which was the homach locus between Aaron and Moshe about the carbon chatas, where it wasn't eaten, and Moshe says, "I don't understand. The blood wasn't brought into the heichal. Like, why aren't you eating it?" And that's the source for Rav Yosef Aglili, where the blood of chatas was brought in, that you're not allowed to eat it. So it's just a technical question. According to Rav Yosef Aglili, why is he making it sound like this is a source of the halakha, when we know that for Rav Yosef Aglili, the Hein Lo Huva Hadama is the source of the halakha? And the Gemara answers very simply, L'dvarav de Rabbi Akiva Kamar. You're right. His source of the pasuk is different. He's just saying to Rabbi Akiva, look, even according to you, kol, vichol, they're not coming to include all other karbonos as well. Okay? So basically, it's a basic machlokas now between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim, blood brought into the Heichal. According to Rabbi Akiva, all bloods brought into the Heichal become disqualified. Much like we have a concept of Yotzei, we have this concept now of bringing bloods into the Heichal, and the Chachamim disagree, and really the Chachamim's position is more mistaber, because the Torah says that this halacha is limited to carbon chatas, and we just finished up. Rabbi Akiva learns it out through Ribuyim.
What paradigm is Rabbi Akiva using? Is it Sakharshius?
Ribuy. It's like S. Like Abed S. Savicha V'Asimecha. And the Gemara says, the S is Rabbo, says Sachia Gadol. Ribuy.
I mean, logically, Rabbi Akiva makes more sense than textually.
Right.
Bringing this sort of a Huntsman Como type of thing.
Right.
One goes somewhere that doesn't.
And we never and we never make distinctions by other karbanos as well. Good. Chata shekibal dama b'shnei kosos. Okay. Last little bit of the eighth perek. I accepted the blood of a chatas in two cups. I don't know. Maybe the cups were small. Maybe there was You had a strong gush of blood that comes out of the animal, and so we get one cup, and there's more blood coming out. So we put in another cup. Right, why this happened, I'm not sure, but it doesn't matter.
Worried about spilling.
So chata shekibal dama b'shnei kosos. So you accepted the blood of one carbon chatas animal into two separate cups. And basically what we will be discussing from here until the end of the perek is the nature of the pairing of these cups. Meaning, the nature of the pairing of these cups. How related now are these cups to one another? Right, with identical twins, you hit one, the other one gets hurt. Right? Which isn't really true, but you understand. So, chata shekibal dama b'shnei kosos. Yatza echad mehem l'chutz ha-panimi kasher. Okay, so, if one of them is taken outside, so outside over here means outside the Azara. So that's a psul yotzei. So that blood becomes disqualified. Ah, but its twin, it didn't go outside, the twin is still good. The other cup is still good. So hapanimi kasher. Okay, fine. So, is that always true? No. It's not always true. Nichnas echad mehem lefnim. If one of the cups is brought into the heichal, now according to everybody, blood of a chatas that's brought into the heichal is disqualified. Rav Yosi Aglili machshir bechitzon v'chachamim poslim. So if one of them is brought inside, so then its twin becomes disqualified. Oh. So obviously that doesn't make sense. I mean, in other words, if we're true, right, if the first halacha, which is not disputed,
right,
is that the psul yotzei will not affect its twin, why should it be that the psul of nichnas should affect its twin, at least according to the chachamim, which is the accepted halacha.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not logical. Right? And in fact, the Gemara later on will say, we'll get to the Gemara probably tomorrow, that it's based on Psukim. Psukim will navigate, will take us to this place that we need to be. So Amar Rav Yosef Aglili, Maim b'makom shemachshava posels b'chutz, lo asas ha-mashari k'yotze, makom shein machshava posels b'fnim, ein odish lo nasas ha-mashari k'nechnas. So, nechnas l'chaper, alfa pish lo kiper, period. Right? Rav Yosi Aglili says, look, you're not making any sense. Meaning, what's more of a disqualification? Yotzei or Nichnas?
Yotzei.
Yotzei is more of a disqualification. I'll prove it to you. Because in the world of Pigol, which we spent a lot of time discussing, right, there's a machshava of chutzo limkomo. There's no machshava of toch ha-heichal. There's no such thing. It doesn't exist. In the world of Pigol, there's no phenomena of chutz ha-heichal. So yotzei is more of a psul, evidenced by the fact of Pigol, of chutz limkomo, and the twin is okay, and meanwhile, I go into the heichal with one of the cups, the other cup is no good? Rav Yosi Galili says it doesn't make sense. And the Gemara will point out, right, that's the end of the Mishnah, the end of that part of the Mishnah, and the Gemara will point out that it is logical. He made a very strong argument, but Psukim, drashas. Let's finish up the Mishnah. We'll end for today. Nichnas lechaper af apish lo kiper pasul divrei Reb Elazar. Bringing this blood inside, right? At what point exactly does that blood become disqualified? So, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the moment it goes inside, nichnas lechaper af apish lo kiper pasul divrei Reb Elazar. Rabbi Shimon Omer ad sheyechaper. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you have to be mechaper with that blood. We'll explain what that means later on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer im hichna shoge kasher. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, if you go in by accident, not realizing that you went into the Beis HaMikdash or you're holding a cup of chatas, you were b'shogeg, the blood is still okay. Kol habdamim psum shenasno agabe mizbeach lo hirtzev. Blood that gets disqualified that goes on the mizbeach, not no good. Lo hirtzev hatzitz. Sitz doesn't affect it. Sitz can't help it. Sitz is the head plate worn by the Kohen Gadol, which we'll read about next week's Parsha. Ela ala tameh shat. Sitz merafs ala tameh, vein merafs ala yotzei. Sitz is helpful for tameh. Sitz is not helpful for yotzei, or for that matter, any other psul. Okay, we'll talk tomorrow about the twin pairings. We'll try to make heads and tails about why it is that the twin pairings are going to be different. Okay, and we'll hopefully finish the eighth parak of Zvachim tomorrow.